Chapter 12. Burr Goes to Work. The emergency limpet meeting was planned to start at 10:30 a.m. the next morning at offices in Whitehall. But Rex Goodhue arrived much earlier to check everything was ready and give out documents. He was determined that this would go well, and he knew that he had some important people coming who were on his side. He had told them in a note with Burr's report that they had a battle to fight. The first people started coming in just before 10:30 a.m. Most of them smiled and shook his hand. More people arrived, including the minister, and for a while there was talk and laughter. But then, suddenly, the laughter stopped when Geoffrey Darker appeared and looked around the room with his cold eyes. They all sat down, and Goodhue started to speak.
"Operation Limpet, Minister," he said. "We have some problems, and we need to do something now."
The minister did not seem happy.
"Where's Burr?" he said. "He should be here if this is his report."
Goodhue was pleased to hear this.
"He's in the building, sir. I can get him now."
"No," said Darker loudly. "If we let Burr in, then every agency will want to come to these meetings, and then there will be trouble. We've seen his report, it's enough."
Goodhue was angry, but he could do nothing. He went on to describe Roper's operation and showed photographs of the SS Lombardy and Horatio Enriquez.
"They look like ordinary ships to me," said the minister. "Why are we worrying about it anyway? It's a Polish problem, isn't it, if it's going to Gdansk? And the Lombardy is an American problem."
"Ironbrand is a British company," replied Goodhue. "Its owners are British, the crooks planning the operation are British, and a British agency has done all the work to catch them. Roper has chosen Gdansk because he's probably paying people there. The Poles will do nothing. The drugs will land and our source will be known."
"Maybe your source is known anyway," said Geoffrey Darker quietly.
It was the first time that Jonathan had been spoken about.
"That's very possible, Geoffrey," replied Goodhue slowly.
He had never met Jonathan, but he knew what had happened, or was happening, to him. His voice had become very angry.
"Limpet has a lot of enemies across the water in River House. Everyone in the government should be helping us, but they're not. Why is that? Why was I taken away from Operation Limpet? Why does the River House want control of it? Everything is flagship, they say. But what is flagship, and why are they controlling important information?"
"Flagship is the American end of this, Rex," said Darker quietly. "I'm sorry, but it's need to know only."
Then he said,
"Did the same source who told Burr about the drugs tell him about the arms?"
"Yes," replied Goodhue.
"Is this source's name Jonathan Pine?" Darker asked.
Goodhue said nothing.
"If it's Pine, then he's wanted for stealing and murder and stolen passports. The police are looking for him. There's also a story that he killed a woman in Cairo. Is this the man that Burr gets his information from, Rex?" asked Darker. "He would do better talking to a drunk person on the street."
And now Darker was smiling.
"I don't think that the minister should be asked to listen to Pine's lies. You shouldn't have to either, Rex."
Everyone looked at Goodhue while the minister started to speak.
"Is this true, Rex?" he asked. Is Pine a murderer? And if he is, why has Burr used him as a source? There are too many problems. Rex, where are you going? Rex, come back.
The door seemed a long way, but Goodhue kept walking.
This isn't like you, Rex, the minister shouted at Goodhue's back. You can't make me help you by behaving like this, Rex. Goodbye.
As soon as Burr heard about the meeting, he started working. He was on American time, and his heart was with Jonathan and the pain he knew that he must be feeling. He knew Roper's men must be torturing him to make him speak. He sent his secretary to Whitehall to get the government papers he needed. Then he wrote the letters. Most of them were to himself. A couple were to Goodhue, and a couple to Goodhue's minister. He signed each letter with a different name and handwriting. Then he called Harry Palfrey at the River House.
Come to my office immediately, he said. I'll explain why when I see you.
Next, he phoned Sir Anthony Bradshaw in Newbury, and finally he spoke to Goodhue.
You still have government money to help you with Limpet until the end of the year, Goodhue said in a quiet voice. So don't stop what you're doing.
Then,
that poor boy, what will they do with him? I think of him all the time.
So did Burr, but he had work to do. Palfrey arrived an hour later and entered Burr's office. Burr stood up and closed the door behind him. Then he punched Palfrey very hard across the face.
That's for Apostol, he said.
Palfrey sat down on a chair with his hand on his face.
Animal,
he whispered.
I've been good to you, Harry Palfrey, until now, Burr continued carefully. I know you have sold Apostol and Pine to the River House.
He took Palfrey's tie and began to pull it hard around his neck.
I'm not feeling good today, Burr said to Palfrey's red face. It might be because of those men torturing my source. Now, I want you to read these papers. As you'll see, Rex Goodhue is not as stupid as you think.
Burr let go of Palfrey's tie and threw some papers marked flagship down on his desk. Palfrey read them and began to cry. Then Burr showed him another paper that had not been signed. It was a paper allowing Burr to send calls to Darker's telephones to other telephones instead, where agents were waiting.
If you don't sign this, Harry, I will kill you, Burr said. And after you've signed it, you're going to spend an evening with Rob Rook in this office. Now, sign here. Use my pen.